Thank you everybody for coming. It's a very nice turnout this week. We just finished Purim, and it's Purim, and why is it so close to Pesach? There's a reason for it. Purim, we all party, we all dance. All we're thinking about is how it's happiness. And the point of Purim being so close to Pesach is it's actually preparing our mindset going into Pesach. What is the mindset supposed to be going into Pesach? During Pesach, what happened is Hashem saved every single Jew. He saved them from being slaves. And the way we're supposed to kind of translate it into the regular day as we live now is every single day of the week, we're kind of, I wouldn't say we're slaves, but we're servants to the day that we live. And meaning by that is we all have things that we have to do every single day. We either have jobs, or we have responsibilities to people, children, whatever it is. And the whole idea going into Pesach is we should kind of understand that we have to free ourselves. And yeah, we're all going to have the same responsibilities always, but we have to free ourselves a little bit and create kind of the separation from the physicality of the things we have to do in this world and kind of embrace Hashem. We have to give Hashem a hug because He's our Father. And what did our Father ultimately do? Our Father ultimately freed us from slavery. And by coming to learn Torah, and by coming to pray and going to shul and trying to better yourself, what you're doing is you're creating a possibility where, not just a possibility, but creating a reality for yourself and for the people around you. And you're proving to them that the more I serve Hashem, the more Hashem actually serves you. And He'll do more for you in return. And the mindset should be for this, you know, for this coming week and going into Pesach, our main mindset should be is what can we do more for Hashem? What can we do more to show Him like, Hashem, like I'm here, like, you know, I believe, I saw all these miracles that you did. You had these Ten Commandments, all these crazy things that the Egyptians had to see. That was the reality. They had to see all these crazy things Hashem sent. Frogs and wild animals and locusts eating up all the grass. Imagine the sight of thousands of locusts flying over your head. You would probably freak out. So this is something that we have to understand, that Hashem is the Almighty. He has the power to do anything. This week, right before, it was actually on Purim, I went to my friend's house, and my friend, he has a mother that is very young, and she's going through Alzheimer's.
She's forgetting everything.
And, you know, it was very, very hard for me to imagine what my friend is going through, because I was standing there, and I was looking, and I was like, this is so painful. I started tearing up. I was like, you know, you're trying to talk to your mother, and she's not responding back, and it's so painful, it's so sad. But my friend, I was looking at my friend and what my friend is doing, and this is his life, this is the fight that Hashem gave him. He's telling his mother, Ima, Zayom Purim, today's Purim, Ima, you remember Purim, we did Balagan, we had fun, we made the whole house a mess, and it was the best time. And he was trying to make his mother laugh and smile. And I from this, like, I was thinking, I was like, wow, like, my friend, from what he's going through, he has the right mindset. And his mindset is that we're in the day right now, today's Purim, and no matter what's going on, we have to try. We have to try to bring ourselves closer to Hashem and try to bring ourselves into the reality of that day. If that day is Purim, we have to make that day Purim. If the day is Pesach, we have to feel Pesach. We have to feel, why do we eat the bitter leaves? Why do we have the you know, all the signs of Pesach on the table, so we can live in the reality that our brothers and sisters lived in. And you know, Jonathan is doing amazing work here. He's trying to better himself before he betters anybody else, because he'll always say the message is first to him and then to everybody else. And you know, all of you should keep coming. Bring your family, bring your friends, and we should see Mashiach this year. Everybody in Yerushalayim, everybody together dancing there. So thank you everybody for coming.
This class should be dedicated for the success and growth of Ronit Oli Batnoit and her family, for my family, for everyone in this room's family and extended families, and all of Am Yisrael. Amen. For the refuah shlema of Yehuda Aryeh Lib ben Dvora Perla, Rafael Eliyahu ben Dvora Perla, Lorraine Rachel bad Deganit, Mary Israel ben Revia Esther, Yosef ben Miriam. Wait, just take him off. He got refuah shlema. It's working. Oz ben Michal, Rose bat Sulika, Ronen ben Rachel, Bosh ben Orli, Chayab bat Rachel, Yonatan ben Natalie, Chaim ben Asher, Chana bat Sarah, Chana bat Dovra, Yaakov ben Alis, Vetzalel Yehuda ben Chana Henya, Chenya, Michal ben Tovo, Eliana bat Hadassa, Esther bat Bertol, Orna Esther bat Gwenina Germain, Heleni Orna bat Chen Chana, Malka bat Julia, Rachel bat Shoshana, Nir Avner ben Yaakot, Yaakot bat Porla, Leilu Nishmat, Daniel Mordechai ben Regina, David ben Masuda, Shaul Aryeh ben Simcha, Ronen bat Rachel, Esther Titi Batrina, Reb Shmayahu ben Reb Abraham Weinschneider, Ephraim Menachem Mendel ben Yitzchak Yaakov Yolonovich, Dina Leah bat Menachem Mendel, Ava bat Hilana Esther, Dana bat Ilana, Yaakov ben Fivel, for defining a zivug of Yonatan Shmuel ben Rachel, Adasa Batut, and anybody in Am Yisrael needs a zivug. Amen. I think for the future, while I'm going through the class dedications, like when I go to Refuah Shlema, just like think to yourself or say a name. And same thing for Leilu Nishmat. And just think to yourself or say a name. Hashem hears it. Because we're going to have a list till for the next 10 minutes. So Baruch Hashem. Okay. So welcome everyone to tonight's class. If you didn't get a book yet, I recommend you do. But I prepared a little something for Pesach. It's nice to see all the familiar faces and the new faces. Baruch Hashem. And all the faces that are outside, we hear them too. I think it's an important reminder to quickly say that we're still in the month of Adar. So even though Purim just finished and we had that amazing day, it was really close to Shabbat and etc. But we're still in the month of Adar. And like David was touching upon beautifully, it's still a mitzvah, it's still an obligation to be happy. It's not a suggestion. It's not like this bracelet, Lashon Hara Lo Medaber Elai, or something you put on your car, like some type of a, oh, well, it's a good thing to think about this once in the blue moon. It's God is still commanding us and obligating us to be happy in this month. Now, obviously, happiness is a journey. It's not something that happens overnight, and we all have many difficulties in our day and difficulties in our lives, etc. So sometimes you can ask yourself, well, how do I tune into the happiness of Adar? How do I make myself feel good? It's very practical. Talk to Hashem all day, connect to Him, learn Torah, fulfill mitzvot, and you're going to start to feel better. But even higher than that, the more that a person connects to Hashem from a genuine, honest place, from exactly where they're at, they're going to start to feel happy. And it's not... I don't think happiness means that a person needs to always be smiling 24/7. Happiness is also a feeling inside too. Of course, we always talk about the importance of smiling and how you always have to wear a pretty smile on your face. It's so important. But more so, happiness is a feeling inside. Because I once learned that there's a big rabbi, I'm forgetting his name, he said out, the whole entire world is chasing what's outside. But if only they knew, if you go to this shul, on this block, on this corner, you walk into the Bet Midrash, there's a little book on one of the shelves, well, all of them really, $20, $15 each. And inside that book is the wisdom that's going to give you all the food your soul's searching for. All the contentment, all the happiness, all the joyous feeling. Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't learn. I'm not so involved in it. Go, get up and go to a shiur, like you're doing now. That's amazing. But more, especially for the men, we have to learn Torah. We have to have it in our lives constantly. The Torah is life. The more that you learn, the more that you take upon yourself, and I'm not going to stop stressing this enough, the more that we take upon ourselves the burden of Torah, to go, to learn, to commit, to sacrifice every single day, day in, day out. Because remember, Azorim Bedima Beinai Ktoru, you have to plant those seeds, and one day you're going to reap the fruits. But if you're not planting the seeds on a day-to-day basis, where is your life going? You want to be able to attack the day, not have the day attack you. And in order to have the strength for the day, and the strength for our life, and the strength, remember that line, David? Attack the day, don't let the day attack you. You don't want to wake up and react. You don't want to come into life fumbling over everything. You want to have an organized schedule. Make yourself a schedule. Find yourself a place you'd like to learn. I'm sure in Miami, there's plenty of places to go learn for men and women together. I'm working with a couple female speakers and rabbitsons to do a program with the ladies. I noticed we have a big female crowd, maybe after Shachalot, weekly class. I'm working on that. Stay tuned. I also want to make a minyan with the guys, but a little bit slacking, but it's okay. We'll work on it. Every week, we're going to slowly grow. I can't stress to you enough the importance of learning Torah. And yes, we're in the shiur now and we're fulfilling the mitzvah of learning Torah, but even more so, I can't stress enough the importance of it. Because learning Torah is the solution to all of the problems and to all the difficulties. I'm not going to say problems, no such thing as a problem. It's really it's an opportunity for growth. Everything you think is a problem, it's really an opportunity for you to get closer to Hashem. Hi, how are you? Jonathan, nice to meet you. How are you? So really, what it is that, why do I not feel connected when I'm praying? Why is it Adar and I'm miserable? Why is Pesach coming up and I'm not so excited for it? Why are we going through, you know, we're in a very special time period right now. I know that there's Meshuggah that's going on in Israel right now, and B'zrat Hashem, this class should be for the healing and the protection of Am Yisrael and all the soldiers. Amen. And war should stop very soon. But just because there's difficulties going on in the world and in our lives and everything, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be getting closer to Hashem at every single moment. Torah stems from the word Hora'ah, instructions. Instruction manual to live the best possible life. Yes, by you coming to shul and learning Hilchot Pesach, or learning about being happy in Adar, or learning Gemara, learning things that you might think to yourself, well, how do I know that lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, I shouldn't cook meat with the milk of the mother? How is that going to help me feel better? You know why? Because the same way that this phone is designed, where you see the little hole, you plug in the charger, the USB-C on the new iPhones, whatever, you plug it in, it's fit perfect, and you open your AirPods and it connects. The Apple product, if you open a Samsung product, it won't connect. I don't know the little intricacies of how it works, but the same way that there's designs in life, God designed the world, and He designed the human being, He designed the soul. And we come from Hashem. Hashem created the domain called the Shekhinah, we come from that. And the same way that you plug in your phone to the wall and it charges, it gets the juice it needs, our system, it's called a neshama, this is how life works, that needs recharging. It needs constant fuel. The same way your body has to eat and drink and take care of itself, the soul needs the same thing. And yes, when you're learning about Hilchot Pesach, you're learning about these interesting things that you may think are random, but they actually apply. By the way, interestingly enough, it's very good to learn halachot, because when you learn halachot, it's not like it's very good for a person just to keep themselves very structured and logical. It's a good thing to learn halachot. But when you're learning, what question? Oh, sorry. When a person is learning Torah, it could be about the most random topics. It could be about this week, Parashat Parah, the importance of the red cow. You'll find so many beautiful things in the Torah and so many beautiful hashkafic ideas that you can pull out something random of a red cow. Did you know that it says in Masechet Kiddushin that there was a story of Dama ben Asina? Anybody ever heard of this? He was a non-Jew. Crazy. Just came into my head now. This week's just on Shabbat, you're reading Parashat Parah, right? There's a story of Masechet Kiddushin, I think on Daf Chafter Amud Bet, about Dama ben Atina, which is a non-Jew who he's very like much expressed in the Gemara because he did a very big mitzvah. There was a group of rabbis that came to his house, and they wanted to retrieve something from his father, and he said, "No, I don't want to wake up my father because my father's sleeping, and I don't want to disrespect him." So we learn kibud av ha'em from a non-Jew, and his name is very highlighted. What did Hashem do? Hashem rewarded Dama ben Atina with a para aduma that was born into his farm, where they had animals and whatnot. And this same group of rabbis in the Talmud, they came back to visit him, and they said, "How much do you want for this para aduma? We need it to serve Hashem." And he said the same exact value of whatever you came back, because his father basically had under his head a key to a chest with diamonds there, and they wanted to come to do business with him. So he basically said, whatever the value was for those diamonds, I'll sell you the para aduma for. And it's just so beautiful to see that something like a para aduma, what does a red cow have to do with me and my life and my goals? Hashem is teaching you kibud av ha'em. But even more than that, since non-Jews are not obligated in kibud av ha'em, and only Jews are, Tosfot actually says on the left-hand side that it wasn't that big of a mitzvah, because since Jewish people are obligated to respect their parents, it's a lot harder for us. And since non-Jews aren't, it was easy for him not to wake up his father. Does that make sense? Everybody following? So basically, in so many words, kibud av ha'em is kaved. Kibud, kaved, it's in the word. It's heavy. It's not easy to respect your parents. being the fact that we're born Jewish, it's not easy for us, like it would be for a non-Jew, to do these things because we're tested with it. The reason why it's so, our life is so difficult and so hard, and why it's so hard to be happy now when it's a mitzvah to be happy, is because the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to be happy, because now it's a good thing to be happy. The reason why it's so hard to connect to Hashem and to do all these amazing things, like literally you can have... You can decide to yourself, you know what, I want to commit to minyanim, and you're going to the minyan, people will stop you in the street, the most insane, absurd things will happen in order to detract you to not go pray. You decide to yourself, I want to come learn Monday nights in this class, you're going to come to decide to go learn, and crazy things are going to happen. You decide to do positive things and good decisions in your life, and the second you start committing to it and doing it, everything will go wrong. But everything's actually going right because Hashem loves you. He's testing you and He wants to see, do you really want to come learn? Do you really want to come pray? And Hashem, please don't test me. I'm getting enough tests. But Hashem's going to say, do you really want to come learn? Do you really want to come pray? Do you really want to have a successful career? Do you really want to make your wife happy? I wrote this down today. I need to share this with you guys. This is a must listen to all the men in the room. There's a halakha that the Rambam writes in Hilchot Yishut 15, chapter 15, verse 19. Look it up. He writes, the Rambam, that a man should never be sad in his wife's presence. Psh, mic drop. That is the key to life if you're smart enough. The Rambam says that a man should never be sad in his wife's presence, teaching you in a little nutshell, that encompasses our entire life. Because... do you want to come to a relationship out of need or out of want? Do you want that? Do you want to be whole and connect and share your happiness, or do you and have an addition, or do you want to come because you're lacking something? Do you want to come together with someone and build a bayit ne'eman b'Yisrael, b'ezrat Hashem, for everybody in this room, amen? Or do you want to come and beg someone to be with you? And that's what the Rambam's saying. It's not just the halakha. It's a gem for life. You know, when you look at a non-Jewish philosopher and you read their quotes, they're nice. It's an idea he had. You ask him tomorrow, what do you think? I forgot, it's written down, go look it up. When it comes to our sages and the beautiful Torah that we have, every little thing, it says that you could spend 1,000 years just on the word Bereshit, which is true. There's so much in Bereshit. You have the letter Shabbat, and you have in the beginning, Vayera Vayiboker, Hashem created first the night and then the day, teaching you that we go through difficulties before we see the light and things. Everything in the Torah is a beautiful message that's being put into our face. And what do we have to do here in Miami and Sunny Isles in this synagogue that's abandoned? All we have to do is to connect to Hashem. I had to do it. All we have to do is to connect to Hashem and to be happy. Because now is the time to be happy, so isn't it a shame not to? We said it last week. Besimcha, machshava, happiness, mindset, positive thinking. No, all of your positive thoughts don't have to be surrounded with always Hashem, Hashem, Hashem intensity. Think positive things to yourself. That's also a mitzvah. Start with thinking positive, doing positive, saying positive. It's a process. Your life is not going to change overnight, I'm sorry to tell you. Things are going to take time, it's going to take effort, it's going to take consistency, but eventually it'll change and it'll grow. And most important thing, you have to believe in yourself. I wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't believe in myself. It's not some egotistical thing. Believe in the purpose Hashem gave you in this world. Every single person in this room has a massive purpose, a massive potential, and you're all destined for greatness, including myself. We're all destined for greatness. God didn't wake you up by mistake. He didn't put you in this world by coincidence. You're not here just because of a random cause and effect, whatever you call it. Because anybody who believes that the world was created because of the sign? The Big Bang Theory, it's like saying that I got this iPhone, there was an explosion in that garbage can, and out came an iPhone, okay? So anybody who thinks that way needs to go to a mental psych ward. Hashem designed the world. He designed you with all of your traits as a whole. He designed for you a soulmate. He designed for you a life, and He wants to give you the best life. Anybody who would, I know it sounds maybe like a repeating message, but I have to say it because I have to drill it into everyone's heads, including myself. I'm talking to myself. No such thing in Judaism as attracting. We're allowing God to give us blessing in our life. The fact that we have a soul, we're automatically attracting good. Does that make sense? So how do you allow Hashem to give you good? Put on the smile. If you're not smiling inside, if you're not smiling outside, smile inside. Very serious thing, by the way. We're not going to always be in the mood to smile. Understandably so. Yes, that's the goal, to always be smiling, to always be happy, to always be on cloud 9. Not because you're high, because you're connecting to Hashem. It makes you happy. It makes you feel feel good. No amount of weed or alcohol can make you feel as good as you are when you connect to Hashem, because when you use these substances, you're automatically going to a very big high, and you're collapsing even more than you were before the high, or whatever the substance you're using. But when you connect to Hashem and you build yourself up slowly and slowly and slowly, when you get there, you stay there. It doesn't go away, because you worked for it. And even if you have bad days and you mess up, it's very easy to get back on track. Isn't it much easier to come 5 minutes late to a meeting than to be unemployed? Like, it's okay to mess up. It's okay to make mistakes. It's a part of life. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to come late to class. You're going to miss a minyan. You're going to have to go to the bathroom in the middle of shachrit. But Hashem wants to see, are you going to be lazy because you can't pray right now if you have to use the bathroom? So it's actually a mitzvah to take off your tefillin and taler and go to the bathroom and come back. If you're sitting there and being lazy, you're actually doing mitzvah ba be'avera. If you're married and you married a woman that doesn't think it's so important for you to go learn, and she tells you, I want to watch a movie right now, but you're like, no, but I want to go to shiur, 60,000 mitzvot per hour, and you tell her, no, I'm going to my shiur anyways, mitzvah ba be'avera. You earn the mitzvah at the extent of a sin. Because if your wife tells you to sit home and to spend time with me and to watch a movie or to whatever she wants to do, you have to now nullify whatever you think you're doing good and to spend time with your wife. Because getting married is an obligation. But how are we going to know these things if we're not learning? How are we going to know that this year Pesach falls out on Saturday night? So actually, I literally learned this today. It's so interesting. The Yalkut Yosef says that we're pushing off Shabbat HaGadol 1 week. By the way, Chidush. We have Shabbat HaGadol and Shabbat HaGadol kind of twice. And the whole purpose of Shabbat HaGadol is the Shabbat of Tshuva and coming closer to Hashem and etc. And there's so many halachot for Pesach. We have Kemach Yashan and when to do, when to cut the wheat. In America, we cut it twice. And in Israel, we cut it once. If you fly to Israel, you don't have to worry about Kemach Yashan. In America, you do. So I think the cutoff date this year was September 15th. After the 15th of September, now you have to check all the products. There's literally an app on your iPhone. It's called Yashan.com app. Everybody should get it. You to know how to live life as a Jew. So there are so many little halachot and rules, how to check for the chametz, biur of the chametz, but it's so much deeper than just the halacha, which is checking and burning the chametz, because Hashem wants us to burn the chametz in our own lives. Because the Jews came out of Mitzrayim. Bechol dovar dor, chayav adam lirot et atzmo, kilu hu yatzam Mitzrayim. Every single year we have to ask ourselves, we have to look like we're coming out of Egypt, because we're coming out of Egypt now. Mitzrayim comes from the word meitzar, constriction. There's a constriction in our minds, a limitation, like a wall, a plateau saying you can't grow this much. You're not destined for greatness. Your life is not supposed to be the way that you would dream for it to be. And that's exactly what Mitzrayim is. So yes, Biur Chametz is not just going and burning Chametz, it's burning the Chametz in our lives. Unfollowing the people on social media, blocking certain phone numbers, staying away from certain people, certain friends. Even just having a schedule in your day, having boundaries with yourself, having respect for yourself, having love for yourself. This is all burning chametz. Burning chametz is burning away the negativity in your life. Opening up Snapchat, deleting all the girls, or for the girls, deleting all the boys. God doesn't need a social app on your phone created by some who knows what guy, who knows where, to send you your soulmate. You have to become like a magnet and it'll come into your life. Connect to Hashem, do it the right way. This is biur chametz. But so yes, going and learning about halachot is actually much deeper than what it is on the surface, because everything has the part that your heart connects to, but there's also the logic of how to actually live like a Jew. How are you going to know? There's so many halachot this year because Shabbat is falling out. Sorry, Pesach is falling out on Erev Shabbat. So did you know you have to wake up for Netz and then do the Seudah by 10 and then clean up the Chametz, and then by Seudah Shlishit you have to have Matzah Shira, right? You have to have the egg matzah because you're not supposed to have the full matzah because you need enough for Pesach. So there's so many rules, but how are we going to know all these things if we're not learning? How are we going to know how to live like a Jew? There's so much to be occupied with as a Jewish person. It's like it's almost like foolish to spend your time being sad and depressed about things that are out of your control anyways. Spend your time learning Torah. Spend your time learning halachot and practicing them and living with them. And you're going to be so busy to think about nonsense. Because that's Yetzer Hara's best trick. Yes, it's Yetzer Hara, but it's also Re'eh. He's your best friend. So I love saying this because I heard it from my friend Sammy Maya, big tzaddik. He gives classes in, I think, Surfside. I'm still learning Miami, whatever. And he says, Yetzer Hara is Yetzer Re'eh. It's your friend. So if a single guy is walking on the street, he has fire inside of him, he wants to look at a girl, the Yetzer Hara is giving him passion to get married, to fulfill the mitzvah, puruvu, but he misinterprets it as, no, I should look because I want to fulfill my own desires, or whatever it is, to do improper things. That's how, does that make sense? That's how deep it goes. Really, we're being pushed towards greatness. Hashem is leveling us up. And when things seem like they're too much to handle, God's actually telling you, no, Jonathan or whatever your name is, it's time to level up now to get to a higher level. You think it's too much to handle? I expect more of you. You think you want to be sad? I want you to be happy. Everything, when everything looks like it's the opposite, it's actually the opposite. Because everything in this world, Hashem is kulo tov, and he does tov labariyot. He only does good to his creation. So everything in this world is good, like the Arizal, right? The only negativity in the world is coming from us and what we create as bad. So really, when we're having Yisurin in our life, it's because of us. We can either suffer to put our brain, to get into a car, to go to a class, to learn, to chop it up in our head, to understand it, to bring the same way you work in business and you're very structured and organized. You should also be in your Shiur Torah with your notes and writing and taking notes down and being serious and showing up and putting on a smile. Make your coffee. If you don't like the coffee in the shul, buy your own coffee. I'm saying there's a way to work it out. But I cannot stress enough the importance of Torah, because the Torah is the food for our soul. And you might ask me, well, out of all the things you could talk about, why are you talking about the importance of learning the Torah? Because through the learning of the Torah, it's giving you chaim. Torah hi Torah chaim. It's a Torah of life. It gives you energy. It gives you power. So I'm talking to myself. I heard Rav Yigal Cohen say once in the shiur that if you're giving classes, like this is what Hashem is pushing me to do through me. I'm not talking. God took over. I left 25 minutes and 27 seconds ago. Hashem's talking, not me. I heard Rav Yigal Cohen say in the shiur that if you're giving classes, you have to learn at least 3-4 hours a day. So that's for me, my nisayon. If I want to give classes, I got to learn. If I'm not going to learn, the classes are not going to be good. It's going to be disconnected. I have my own things. Everyone has their own things. I had the craziest day today. I'm sure you all did too, but we're still here. We're still pushing. We're still showing Hashem. We're coming to commit. We're coming to learn Shabbat B'Tachon. We're coming to make our lives better. We're coming because we want to connect to you, Hashem, our holy, amazing God. So that's really what's happening. Everything that we deem and perceive and give a label as bad and this and that, no, it's the best thing happening for you in disguise. Well, she broke up with me. Maybe she can't have children. Maybe she's Hashem saving you. Maybe you don't see something that's God is saving you. He's saving you at every single moment. Well, but this job didn't work out. Well, maybe the boss is a crook. Maybe all of his money is stolen from somewhere and you're going to make not kosher money. How do you know? How do you know? All you know is what's happening, right? You can do your best, but the outcome's not in your hands. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to me. I struggle with this stuff. I have a hard time with this stuff. It's not easy for me. Life is not supposed to be easy, but it's going to be hard to be a winner, hard to be a loser. You pick your pain. You want to be upset because you're not trying, or you want to have difficulties when you're trying. And amidst the difficulties and the most difficult parts of your day, you say thank you, Hashem, for all the Yisurin. And I promise you, there's going to be those moments where it's going to be like, I feel close to Hashem, thank you. And those moments are going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And then here we have a brand new person. You come to this world knowing nothing, and you obviously, right, the flick, the whole thing we have here, right? I have a beard, you can't see it, but we all have it, right? You come to this world knowing nothing, you learn everything, it gets taken away, and then you start learning the instructions of the world. No, it's not going to be Andrew Tate or Elon Musk or Donald Trump or Joe Biden doesn't know where he is now. it's not going to be those people that are going to teach you how to live life. It's not the news, it's not the radio, it's not Netflix, it's not YouTube, it's not anywhere. It's here. Because these sefarim, the Torah, all everything about it, encompassing it, not just learning it, but living it, it's pure. You ever go to a nice religious home and think to yourself, wow, I wish I had this for myself one day, where the couple is happy and they speak to each other respectfully, and Shabbat comes in and the little kids, they give a little Dvar Torah by the Friday night table. Don't we all dream for that? Obviously, if you dream it, you could see it's because you're supposed to have it. But how are you going to get there with all these excuses? How are you going to get there with all this setback and sadness? It's a process. It's a journey. And you might leave this class and forget 95% of what I say. And you might listen to it on Spotify and still forget it. But hold on to one thing, one line. You ready? If a person invests in the will of Hashem, you cannot lose. If you invest in Hashem, what Hashem wants every day, and we all know what Hashem wants, we all are smart enough, Baruch Hashem, to know that what He wants from us, what He's expecting of us. And really, all of our suffering we bring upon ourselves. Because the whole purpose of why we're going through difficulties in our life is because Hashem is saying, get close to me. If you're not going to get close to me, I'm going to push you. I'm going to shove you. I'm going to throw your head into a wall. I'm going to give you a parking ticket. I'm going to give you an accident. I'm going to give you a rejected shidduch. I'm going to give you a rejected job opportunity. I'm going to give you sadness inside of yourself because you're far away from me. To be close to Hashem, it's good for me. It's actually good. Not to be close to, I don't know, Miami Beach. I'm saying it's good to be close to God, to be close to your Creator. You can get close to Hashem on the beach at nighttime when there's no immodesty there, and you can listen to a shiur and put your feet into the earth and walk on the sand. That's amazing. Do it the right way. Hashem wants you to enjoy the world. No one's saying to be some crazy robot. Be you. Be the same person you are. Just be a little more spiritual. Be a little bit more serious about your purpose in this world. Don't get lost in, you know, there's a crazy story I read recently. Anybody ever heard of Naftali Horowitz? A big financial, he works with very rich people. So there's one person that he was working with, a lady, call her Sarah, and she invested hundreds of millions of dollars from her brother that passed away. And throughout, he would always go visit her in different islands. She would fly him out. He's a fund manager. What do you call them? People that manage people's...
Hedge fund,
something like that. He managed people's money, right? So she would always fly him out to the Caribbean, to Bua Bua, all these different fancy places to meet, to talk about business. And one thing she appreciated about Naftali is that he always came on Sukkot, he shook the lulav, he came on Hanukkah, helped her light the menorah, and he spoke Yiddish, so she really appreciated the fact that he spoke Yiddish, they were able to connect. So, and he would always come and he would always bring the spirituality, he would always reveal God in a very dark world. So, they were very close to each other, Baruch Hashem. Fast forward a couple, throughout his relationship with this lady, he would always tell her, you know, you make $1 million a day. What is it for you to take one day and to open a yeshiva? We could put your name on the front of the building. Because yes, you have so much in this world. But newsflash, if you ever go to a funeral, Long Island, we should never go, but we have to, unfortunately. I'm saying I buried my grandfather a year and a half ago. You have to go to a funeral. You have to go pay your dividends when it's the end of a person's life. Just what you have to do. But you ever go to a funeral or a levaya and see moving trucks with people bringing all their stuff with them to the next world? You hear that famous story of the man who wanted to be buried with the socks, later found out that you can't even bring socks with you to the next world. Very wealthy man. So many nice analogies and ways of interpreting it, etc. But there's no moving trucks by the cemetery. You're not bringing your money with you. So this lady, fast forward, I like to get sidetracked, Gemini, but fast forward to the end of her life, she's in the hospital bed in her last moments. He tells her, you know, take $1 million, you make it in a day, she's worth probably hundreds of millions of dollars, take one day of what you make without even, you inherited it, it's not even like you worked for it, you inherited this money, and open a yeshiva, leave something in this world that can continue to reap you fruits in the next world. Because remember, life is like the ripple effect. If you come to a lake and you throw a rock, that rock will open up waves of water. So long after the person... Am I talking too fast? Everyone, okay? So long after a person walks away from the lake, after he skids a rock, the water will open up. That's called the ripple effect, right? So that means long after the action of the man, which is to throw the rock, the water continues to open. So the action, you learn from this idea... give credit to Rabbi Mansur, that's where I heard it from. You learn from this idea that long after the person lives, the actions and that they invested in this world continue to open up. That's why in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem opens up Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Metim, not just the people of living and passing, but the people that already passed to come in to collect ROI on their investments on this world. So it just goes to show that this woman would take $1 million, open up one yeshiva, feels nothing from it, she would get Olam Haba, never ending. Because what better is it to leave Torah in this world, to leave something, to leave a legacy? So, you know what she does? She opens up her oxygen mask and she goes, man, maybe one day. And then, long story short, she passed away and didn't do it. So it just goes to show you that what can we do to leave a lasting impact in this world? Yes, open up yeshivot if Hashem gives you the money. Yes, you know, do all the good you can. But it's more than that, because greatness is not just what's shown on the outside. Greatness is the small things. Greatness is, let's say, going on a date with a girl and giving her respect. Greatness is calling up your parents, if you're not talking to them so much, and to see how they're doing, to help someone. To do chesed behind closed doors. If you see something's not clean, clean it up. If you see something has to be organized, organize. This is greatness. The things that people don't see. To help a friend that's struggling financially. If you know if someone's struggling emotionally, call them up. You know someone's going through a difficult time, think about them. Call them up. You never know when someone's on their last legs. You never know when someone needs to hear your voice the most. So that's really the message of where we're at right now. It's an obligation to be happy, and we can't fulfill our purpose in this world if we're going to be sad, because the brain just doesn't work when you're sad. It doesn't work when you're scared. It doesn't work when you're fearful. Your brain shuts off. It doesn't operate properly. And we just need to tell ourselves constantly that Hashem is with us, and to talk to Hashem and to have a relationship with Him and to get close to Him. And B'zrat Hashem, we're going to do that. And that's really the message of Mitzrayim. Like I said, Mitzrayim comes from the word Mitzar, constriction. The only one that's limiting you is yourself. And in the way that a person wants to live, you're going to be taken. But Hillel also says, "Nimena nili mili." If I don't have myself, no one's going to have me. You can lock yourself in a room. You can stay by yourself for the rest of your life. And maybe people will come. They'll visit you. They'll try to get you out of it. But eventually, after months and years and efforts of trying, you're going to... That's it. I'm saying you have to pick up yourself and you have to go. You have to make something of yourself. And you can have everybody around you and you can feel completely alone. Or you can have nobody around you and feel completely whole. So it's really yours. Life is yours for the taking. You decide how you want to create your life. You decide what kind of life you want to live. Hashem will help you get there. But like David said last week, I don't know if he's still here, you don't want to come to Olam Haba, they're going to open up that curtain, show you the person that you could have became, and you didn't become that person. And it's in all sense. We have to be in good physical shape, in good mental health, to heal from our past, whatever it is, in good spiritual shape, to connect to Hashem. And by the way, the number one thing that encompasses everything is getting close to Hashem. It heals your heart, it heals your past, it heals your traumas, it heals your fears. Learning Torah, it burns all the evil inside of you. It makes you feel good, it connects you to a higher purpose, gives you a sense of purpose, shows you your purpose in this world, because we all have a specific planned out purpose, and Hashem has so much for us in store, so much, so much, so much, so much, so much in store, and we're exactly where we need to be. Like the Pasuk says, Baruch Kevod Adonai Mimekomo. From exactly where you're at. Mimekomo. Not Mimekomo over there. No, from exactly where you're at, that's where you get closer to Hashem, because you're exactly where you need to be. And even if you fell in your life and you made mistakes and you made some bad mistakes, it's okay. Sometimes you have to make those mistakes. Sometimes you have to fall in order to learn the lesson. Sometimes you have to go to some places or meet some people or have some uncomfortable encounters or uncomfortable experiences. Sometimes we have to go through these difficult things or difficult relationships or difficult experiences or difficult family members or difficult everything. But we have to go through it in order to become the person to become the people that we are today. Because Hashem is preparing us for something. There's a future for you. There's hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Remember, Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker. Right? Yoshev Beset Elyon. You sit in quiet and you accept your Yisurin, you thank Hashem for it, you dance. Elyon, Hashem's gonna rise you. Hashem didn't forget about you. The opposite, if you're going through difficulties, it's a sign that Hashem's thinking about you and he's obsessed with you. If everything's going amazing, maybe then a person should start to worry, because why is my life going so good? But if you're suffering, you're trying to build something, that's part of the game. It's life. That's what it is. It's going to get better. It's going to get easier. Eventually, you're going to meet your other half. Eventually, you're going to build a family. Eventually. But at least check into the ball game. I'm sorry. If you're not trying to grow, trying to get closer to Hashem, you're wasting your time. You're wasting precious time in this world. Because yes, money is amazing. But what one precious asset that we're never going to get back is time. And you all made the right choice to come in to learn tonight, an hour of time, hour of Torah. That's a good investment of your time. So invest your time wisely. Invest your time into yourself. Invest your time into the people that mean the most to you. Invest your time into Am Yisrael, our brethren, all of us. Invest our time into things that mean the most in our life. Not to just run and do and all day. No, stop for a second. Think about things that are meaningful. Think about the impression you want to leave on this world. Think about the person you really want to be. Think about the life you really want to live. And Bezrat Hashem, we should get there. So we're on page 80 in the Sefer. If anyone doesn't have one, the box is right there. Also, another interesting chidush about Mitzrayim, since we're on the topic already, is that if you look at the letter, the how do you spell Mitzrayim? Mem Tzadik Resh Yud Mem Sofi, right? This is an interesting, just about talking in shul. I like this one a lot. So the first mem is open, right? There's an opening at the bottom. Then you have Tzadik Resh Yud, then you have a mem, which is closed. Mem Sofi, closed mem. So it's so important not to talk when a person's in shul. Because remember, you come to shul to pray. and praying in the minyan is mitzvah d'rabbanan. So it's like even more so. It's like, well, you're coming to shul just to talk, just to catch up with friends, etc. No, come to shul with a purpose. Talk during the kiddush. Talk whenever you have the time to talk. So there's a beautiful kiddush I heard from my man Surah. He says, the mem patach and the mem close, meaning mem represents ma'amar, talking. So a person has to talk at the right times. Also, Pesach, talking, action, etc. So it just goes to show you how important your mouth is. That's why I like to always say, don't think Hashem, but I'm saying more than thinking Hashem, talk Hashem. When you speak, you create a vessel. Your words can make someone feel amazing, or you can crush a person, showing you the importance of our mouth. So when a person, there's basically an idea that there's times to talk in life and times to stay quiet. So when a person goes to shul, he's not supposed to talk. How was the proof? In the middle of Mitzrayim, it's Tzadik Reish Yud, he reorganized the Yetzer. Yetzahara. The Yetzahara can push you to talk in shul, but you have to control yourself. The Yetzahara Tov can make you not want to give compliments when it's the right time. To give your wife a compliment, or to give a compliment to a friend, or, I don't know, nice suit on Shabbat. There's times to compliment, there's times not to talk. So anyone who doesn't talk, someone who talks when he's not supposed to is a victim of the Yetzahara. But someone who speaks and says the right words and uses his mouth to beautify the world around him, he's going after his Yetzer Atov. So that's a nice also chidush about the word Mitzrayim. Now we're on page 80. Just to recoup what we did last time, anybody who's new, when we go through the Shaar Bitachon, I'm highly, highly recommending everybody should say the words as we go. Because when you say the words, when you speak and you say the words, you're sowing it onto your soul. So last time we went through the conditions that a person should have in Hashem in order to trust Him. It's not easy to come and to start developing a relationship with Hashem, to say, Hashem, I want to trust You, I want to be close to You. So the Perek Sheni is opening up, the second Perek is opening up with conditions of why Hashem is a good candidate for a person to trust in. Why is the Creator of the world a good candidate for us to trust in Him? So the first condition, like we did last week, is kindness. Hashem is kindness, He has endless compassion, sympathy, love, etc. The second condition was caring. I'm just going through it because I want to continue. The second condition, if anyone wants to go through it, you're more than welcome to take the book home if you're going to use it, etc. But I want to just go through it quickly. Second condition is caring. A person has to know that Hashem really cares about you and that He has your best interest in mind always. The third condition is power. Hashem is kol yachol. Hashem could do anything. If a person knows that Hashem is powerful and almighty, and that Hashem is the source of power in the world, and the person's going to want to trust in Hashem. Hashem could do anything for you. If a person knows that Hashem could bring you my parnasah or my shiduch or all the things that a person's looking for, a person's not going to be desperate and chasing because he has trust, full, complete confidence and trust in his Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Blessed be His name, that He can do anything for you, and all you have to do is to follow His ways. When you fix the internal conflicts that you have, everything else in your life is going to fall into place. When you take upon yourself all Torah, like I always talk about, the only reason why I stress Torah so much is because that's the solution, it's the cure. So that's the third condition, power. The fourth condition is knowledge. Hashem knows best. Same way you go to a person, God forbid, has a problem, you go to a specialist doctor. A person needs money advice, you go to a specialist on Wall Street. These people know certain things, but even then, they don't know fully everything. It's a topic for a different day. But that's knowledge. Hashem knows everything. Hashem is Yodea. He knows everything, and He knows He has your best interest in mind, because Hashem created us. Remember, we started off as one little sperm cell. Hashem designed us every single part of our existence. He took care of us nine months in the womb. And I don't think anybody in this room ever went to sleep hungry, unless you're doing intermittent fasting, but I don't think you ever chose to go to sleep hungry. Everyone has a place to sleep tonight. Everybody has, Baruch Hashem, a great life. Remember, if you're not crazy rich or married or whatever goals you have for yourself or driving this car, it doesn't mean that you're not successful. Just the fact that you're breathing, you move your body around, nothing hurts, right? Everything's okay. Minor pains, I'm saying, right? Fair to say. We're able to walk, we can breathe, we can taste food, we can drink, we don't have pain, we use the bathroom, painless, free. That's already a rich person. You know how many people there are rich and they would give all their money away just to go through 1 minute without pain? I'm saying I don't mean to get graphic, but I've been to the hospitals before. You see what it is. It's actually Rabbi Victor Miller used to take his students to the certain floor on hospitals where people are leaving the world. And actually, interestingly enough, it's a story, but I will share it. Avigdor Miller was taking his students to the hospital, to the whatever, that hall where people are leaving the world. Not passing away, they're leaving the world, going to the better place. Right? So because this world is a hallway for the world to come, so they're leaving the hallway, they're going to the real the real destination. And whatever, they're going through all the rooms and everybody's, you know, preparing for the end of their life, and they're sad. People are sad leaving the world because they think they're missing out on something. I'm not gonna be able to do this next experience or this next adventure. Go on adventures, have experiences. I approve the message. But listen to the idea. And then he takes their students to the end of the hall, and they see a religious man who's studying Torah, has his Gemara open, and he's doing chazara because he knows he's about to answer. He's preparing himself for what's about to come. And he's happy. He's filled with joy because he knows why he's here. He knows where he's going, and he knows his obligation. So think about that for a second. Imagine you're in a hospital. Like, yes, it sounds bad. You're in a hospital, you're passing, you're leaving the world. But no, the man's preparing himself for where he's about to go, and he's happy. He's happy. Don't you want to leave the world happy? Don't you want to be in the world happy? We're young, we're so full of life. Life is too short to be upset. Isn't that so true? I mean, come on. Isn't life too short to hold a grudge or to be upset or to have a problem with someone or to not make that phone call? Make the phone call. Be the bigger person. I don't even know how we got into this. Amazing. Okay, so we're going to go back inside. The fifth condition is exclusive control. The fifth condition for trusting another individual is being under his exclusive care. Suppose the person sees a fully licensed physician who is known far and wide as the greatest expert. Furthermore, he's the kindest of men and he is always thinking about you. He's fully capable. If he needs a certain medicine, he can order it from the end of the world. But suppose the same physician, doctor, allows some other people to interfere with your treatment and do things to you according to their ideas. He won't interfere if you are treated by someone who practices alternative medicine, like a homeopath, a faithfully healer, or someone who has his own quirky methods of healing people. In that case, you can't place your trust in him, because somebody else may very well take over and do harm to you. Hashem has exclusive control over you to do whatever he knows is best for you. Therefore, another condition for trust is that there's nobody who has any access to treating you except this one person. Isn't that amazing? It's like our parents. We're our parents' child. Same thing with Hashem. He has exclusive control to whatever happens to us. Beautiful idea. And he has all the control. Topic for another time. The fifth condition is that he should be the only one who takes care of the one who has placed his trust in him. Again, the fifth condition for trusting Hashem is that he is Hashem, the only one who takes care of the one who has placed his trust in him. And this exclusive role should take effect from the beginning of the trusting person's existence. Meaning, from the beginning that... Hashgacha prati, we literally just spoke about... You come from one little cell, amazing. From the second day you come into this world, Hashem took care of you. So why would he? I'm saying, I'm 24, so Hashem has a 24-year amazing track record. I'm just sometimes silly to, you know, whatever, complain and not see the good in things. But God is doing his part. I just have to do mine. So it's beautiful to see that Hashem's always taking care of you. And it's not just to feed you and to satiate you and to make sure you have a place to sleep, but the bigger things too, the parnasah, the zivugim, the if you're married, shalom bayit, etc. You don't need to pay therapists thousands of dollars. You need to open up your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's beautiful stuff. Going back to the example of the physician, let's say another doctor who was unqualified, who was handling the patient's birth and botched the job. Then after the patient was born, the great physician took over, but at that point he was taking over the treatment of a deformed child. Clearly it's important that the same professional has to be the one who is handling all aspects of the formation of the child inside of his mother. But where do you find that? No physician is great enough to do that. Hashem, however, is the sole physician who is handling our affairs from the beginning of our coming into existence. He sees to it that we are created in the right way. There are thousands of things that have to be exactly right during the development of the fetus inside the mother. And I'm going to add to this that there are also thousands of things that can go wrong too. And Hashem is making sure it's precisely done the way it's meant to. Fortunately, Hashem is doing every little thing according to his wishes and nobody else. Ugdulato, and the exclusive role of the trusted caregiver should cover the patient's growth from the very beginning. Ve'ankuto, v'na'aruto, uvacharuto, v'shishuto, v'ziknato. Amazing, we literally just spoke about this and it's inside. It's amazing. That's Hashgacha Pratit, by the way. When you talk about something, you see it inside. Hashem's here. Hi, Hashem. His infancy, his childhood, his youth, his adulthood, and his old age. At tachlit inyano, until the end of his life. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tripping out right now. We literally just spoke about this, and now it's in the Sefer. Isn't that amazing? Hashgacha Pratit. Thank you, Hashem. Throughout all the stages of your life, Hashem fulfills the condition of being the only one who is dealing with you. Nobody else has any way of mixing in or interfering. This is an essential condition. Not only is Hashem kind, He's concerned about you, He's powerful enough to help you, knowledgeable enough to know what's good for you, but besides all that, He's the only one who has anything to do with your care, and nobody else. Not a doctor, not your boss, not your matchmaker. No one has control over your life. Remember that. No one. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. If anybody, and you say, Shadchan, Sheker Dover Ve Kesef Notel, right? In Hebrew. He speaks lies and he wants money. If anybody else wants to have some input in your life, you cannot trust him because that person's input may be detrimental to you. But when you understand that Hashem has exclusive control over you, what is there to worry about? When this becomes clear to the trusting person and nobody else is handling his affairs, that's the key to happiness. It necessarily follows that his mind will be completely calm. Remember, happiness equals peace of mind, flowing thoughts, no war zones, no Gaza in your brain. Gaza is, leave it over there. We don't need to have it over here. Happiness is peace of mind, knowing and trusting that Hashem's taking care of you and being able to relax, just feel calm throughout the day. Amazing. Vishayan alav, and he will rely on him. Person's going to rely on Hashem and trust him through everything in life. Ba'avur ma shekadam lo alav minatovot ha'outfot. Because up until now, again, it's inside. I'm freaking out because up until now, he had so many benefits. Hashem has a good track record. Va'to'aliot Hamat Midot, and constant support from him, meaning Hashem gives you support in times that you need it. We said this in one of the first classes. People have in their life people that they call to get advice, right? Everyone has someone to depend on. It could be your parents, or it could be an advisor or a rabbi. But I once heard an amazing thing that if you make a phone call to someone to ask for advice or you're struggling and they don't answer the phone, Hashem is telling you they didn't answer the phone because you don't need to hear that right now. You're actually strong enough to get through it. So think about that for a second. It's good, no? That everything in life is divinely ordained, and when we think we need to talk to this person, we need to I don't know, go beg our ex to be with us, or anything. No, you don't need that. Hashem is saying, look inside. When you think you have to look outside, look down. Look in. You have the answers here. The strength is here. Hashem gave you the strength to get through it. Well, you're not gonna die. Take a deep breath. Everything is okay. Trust Hashem, and He'll take you through life. He took hostages out of Gaza and brought them back to Israel. He can't take you through this difficulty. He can't pick you up and hold your hand and be there. He's doing it as we speak. You're not breathing. What do you think? Oh, so Hashem forgot to send me my soulmate and my money, but He's not forget. But he's literally giving you air as you're pumping. You're breathing air as we speak. He's giving you thoughts. He's not controlling. We have zchut bchira. We have the ability for free will, but Hashem is here. He's present. Wait, you think my hands are moving and I'm talking and I'm breathing? Because God is willing it to happen. God is willing me into existence as we speak. God is willing me into willing all the world, all of us into existence as we speak. It's simple, but it's complicated. Constant support from him. And that is what obligates him to increase his trust in him. Him is here is talking about the person, the Jew. Hashem was with you when you were an embryo. Again, amazing. Inside of your mother. He was with you in the delivery room. He was with you when you were a little baby. He was with you when you were a little boy. The reason why I get so excited when Hashem puts in my mind something to talk about and I see it inside is because my chavruta, Judah Cohen, who I learned Shar Bitachon with, we learned together. He taught me this. He said when you're speaking about, you know how whenever you come to a shiur, usually you speak about something before, like whatever, you get a little schmoozing. Hopefully it's Torah related stuff. So he taught me whenever you speak about Dvar Torah before the actual learning, and you see the exact specific thing you were speaking about inside, it's Hashgacha Pratit. So Hashem is saying, yes, I approve this message. You were a little boy, He was with you as a young man, He was with you throughout all your years, because you have had this experience. You place your trust in Him, capital H is Hashem, and your trust is fully justified, meaning works. meaning when we do the right things in our life and we trust Hashem and have emunah and bitachon, etc., and learn Torah and do all the right things, we're justifying Hashem's decision to create us. We're kind of like Hashem said, I'm going to create you, I'm going to put you in this world, and when you do go down the right path and do the right things, you're justifying God's will. Isn't that so beautiful? Not only did Hashem create you and you're killing it and you're doing so good in your life, which we all are, we really are doing so good, everyone's doing so amazing, you really are, but you're saying, Hashem, yes, you created me, you didn't waste your time. You made a good investment. You think Hashem is silly? Yes, us, we invest in Robinhood, we lose all our money, literally. But God doesn't invest and waste his time. If God created you, what's your name?
Ron.
If Hashem made you, you think he made a mistake? You're the most amazing thing in this entire world. So obviously, Hashem knows what he's doing. Same thing, what's your name?
Moshe.
Moshe Rabbeinu. Pesach. Pesach, Pei is 80. And 80 is how old Moshe was when he received the Torah. And Moshe had a speech impediment, but all of Am Yisrael still listened to him. Pei is 4? Pei is speaking. Ron, page 80. Wow. That's Hashgacha Pratit. You see that? Round of applause. But it just goes to show, Moshe had a speech impediment, but everybody still listened to him. Why? Because that's what Hashem wanted. If Hashem wants you to have something, you're going to have it. Don't worry. Did Moshe Rabbeinu worry? Are you going to worry? You better not worry. I'm going to kill you. Think about your experience of benefits from Hashem. You've been eating breakfast for so many years, or if you're doing intermittent fasting, you're having a late and so it is logical that you should trust him to continue giving you breakfast. You've had supper. Break fast. You've had supper for so many years. You have slept peacefully for so many years. You breathe fresh air for so many years. You know how many people don't go to sleep peacefully at night? You know how many people worry themselves to sleep and they wake up and they're still in the worry? It's meforash, by the way. If a person sleeps with that same head you sleep with, you're going to wake up with. You have to try to go to sleep with a peaceful mind and wake up calm. Don't go to sleep on Instagram. Go to sleep. Close the phone, talking to myself, shut it all off, talk to Hashem, fall asleep peacefully. It doesn't just have to be on Friday night when you can't touch your phone. It could be every single day for the rest of your life. You know how many people don't sleep peacefully, but you do sleep peacefully. And for so many years, that's when your soul goes up and gets energy for the day you're about to have. Hashem is giving you kochot. By the way, Hashem gives you kochot for every single day. Every day has a different koach that Hashem has to give you. Every single day we wake up and we have a new day in front of us to tackle. Hashem gives you kochot when you're sleeping. You're recharging your soul. That's why sometimes when you have a very long day, especially a very physical day, you sleep longer because your soul needs more of the light that's receiving from Shemaim. You breathe fresh air for so many years. And you had no issues with it. You were able to move your bowels for so many. We literally just spoke about this because of these experiences. You place your trust in Him, capital H, Kadosh Baruch Hu. He is the only one, the Kol Yachol, who has been handling your affairs, and He has done it successfully. Now, because we're older and adults, doesn't mean that we handle our affairs. We might think we're doing something, but we're not. We're responsible. We can follow a schedule. We can be organized, but really, Hashem is the one that's running the show. We have to know that. I cannot do anything, only Hashem can. To remind ourselves of that constantly and to put it into our speech and our thinking, and someone can tell you, wow, nice car, wow, you got married, I'm so happy for you, wow, this happened. No, always give say thank you Hashem, Chazdei Hashem, always give the credit back to Hashem because He was the one that did it. And you don't want Chas V'Shalom anything to go wrong. Give the credit back to Hashem. If you're dating someone or you're married and she's not bugging out, obviously she's probably not Moroccan, but I'm kidding. But you're with someone, or even a man, he's not angry, he's not stingy, he's treating you well. All these things are going well for you. Thank Hashem. Say, Hashem, thank you. You know how many people suffer? You know how many people have to take their wives or their significant other to a psychologist or to a rabbi, or constant phone calls, or I'm saying trying to figure it out, or arguing, or always being in the cycle of arguing and pushing and pulling and dancing, all this stuff. It's not good. But that's why you have to bring Hashem into your relationship. When you bring Hashem into your relationship, you do things the right way, things will flow. Sometimes, by the way, that's not true. Sometimes when a zivug is really, really meant to be in Shamayim, and the Yetzer Hara knows if I'm going to let these two people get together, they're gonna basically ruin me, right? So it's not always true. That's why I would say to not take it literal, because sometimes you could be dating someone and it could be going very hard. That's also an insight that's right. So you have to be careful. Yes.
There's a famous story where there's two people about to get married, the ring drops.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so it drops. And then a couple seconds later, it drops again. And the torches start to talk. Maybe they're not supposed to get married to each other. So the rabbi said, shut.
Speak up.
The rabbi said, no, please stop talking. Hashem decided exact second they're supposed to get married. And that was the time.
See that? That was Moshe Feinstein. That's the story. He was Mesalei Kedushin, and yeah, he said the angels had to delay it by 60 seconds because exactly. It wasn't the right time for them to come together. So it just goes to show, not always is it, if it's smooth, amazing, but if it's really a good person, and you know, people aren't perfect, you have to sometimes be willing to invest in that person, but there's challenges, and sometimes a lot of challenges, and sometimes a lot of challenges, that could also be right for you. You just have to ask yourself, you know, do I get along with this person? Does the time together feel like it's flying? I'm saying there are certain signs you can see. You love this person, you have chemistry, potential to build with them, etc. Sometimes the obstacles don't even come from the couple. It comes from outside. That's even more. You have so many external circumstances that are like sometimes the boy and the girl, they're perfect. They connect. They have great chemistry. Everything between them is beautiful. They want to build innocently a Beit Ne'eman b'Yisrael. But what happens? The parents and the in-laws and this friend and that person, and everyone's trying to interfere. Why? It's meant to be. Meant to be. That's why the boy and the girl have to muster up the courage to follow through with the wedding. They have to follow through. You have to take the action and follow through. Sometimes it will be smooth if you're lucky. Sometimes it's going to be hard. But you never know. But you just have to ask yourself, am I with my soulmate? I want to build a bayit ne'eman. Because remember, azavet ami ve'imo v'davak be'ishto. You leave your parents and you connect to your wife. So when you get married, it's the most important person in your life, pitom. So even if you have bayot, problems coming from the outside, or even sometimes between you two, if you're able to work through it and you love this person, remember, you're not signing up for heaven. You're signing up for work. You're signing up for constant struggle. But the main focal point in everything of all this stuff is Hashem. Because if the man takes his responsibility to connect to Hashem in his way, and the woman does it in her way, and they're both connecting and building, you're going to come together and have a lot of bracha, despite the challenges. Because you can either frown through the challenges and run away from the test, and run away from your purpose, and sometimes even run away from your other half, or you can accept it with love and say, you know what, this is my tikkun, this is what I have to go through, and I'm gonna make it amazing. I'm gonna grow through it. I'm gonna make this the best thing ever. It's all in our power, it's all in our perspective. And sometimes those difficult conversations can get us to a much, much happier place. B'zrat Hashem. So the exclusive control for your care. It's happening. It's happening as we speak. It's the fifth condition. It is only Hashem who has any control over your affairs and nobody else has any input. The sixth condition is exclusive responsibility. Vashishit. The sixth condition for trust is that all the affairs of the trusting individual are in the hands of the one he trusts. Imagine you have such a trusted personality with all the qualities that would warrant trust. He loves you. He's always thinking about you. He's energetic on your behalf, excited to hear about, you know, your life, your good news, etc. And he's capable of carrying out his wishes. No expense will keep him back. Nothing is too difficult for him. He knows all that is necessary to know about you, meaning your flaws, the things that you hide, whatever it is, and he's the only one in control, but he's only human. Isn't it possible that he will be hit by lightning or fall down and be injured, or something could happen to him? Doesn't have to be such an extreme measure. So you cannot have full trust unless one more condition is added. Sheyeh inyan abotach masur beyado. The sixth condition for trust is that all the affairs of the one who trusts are entirely in the hands of the one in whom he trusts. I'll read that again. The sixth condition is that all the affairs of the one who trusts are entirely in the hands of the one in whom he trusts. What that means is that all the affairs, let's say, in Reuven's life are in the hands of the one whom he's trusting. So Reuven's trusting in Hashem. All of his affairs are in Hashem's hands. You have to completely let go and detach yourself. Let go and let Hashem. A statement couldn't be more true. Let go and let Hashem. It's in his hands. Meaning exclusive responsibility means that Hashem is in control and not us. Continue. V'lo yachol adam la'aziko. No other person can harm him. Ulholi'o. Nor help him. Nor benefit him, nor prevent harm from coming except him, only Hashem. And that's that, and the condition to the condition is that if you're going to put all of your trust in Hashem, if you put your trust in Ploni, then Hashem is going to put your hands in Ploni, and then you're going to come back and say, why is it not working? And Hashem is going to say, because you put your trust in the human being, not in me. Whoever you put your trust in is where your trust is going to end. If you put your trust in Hashem, you can't get harmed. It's impossible. Now again, everybody wants to attain this 100% of trust in God, but it's not supposed to be that way. It's a relationship, it's a process, and the mere fact that you're thinking about it and trying and working towards it, you know, small increments at a time, you're already on the right track. You're already considered trusting Botach Ba'Hashem. Other than what is controlled, if you're in this class, you're Botach Ba'Hashem, you're coming to learn about Shara Bitachon, in Miami at 9 o'clock at night. I'm saying this is not what the outside world will call exciting, but it is very exciting because our souls are getting energized. We're learning the truth, but just the fact that we're here and putting in effort. Yes.
There was the rabbi. I forgot his name. Yaron, whatever. He was saying that everyone wants to have Yiras Hashem, but they want to have fear. Yira is spelled Yud. How do you spell Yud Resh?
Yud Resh Aleph.
And that's fear, right? Really, if you change the words around, it goes to the Hebrew word yirah, to see. Really, yirah Hashem is seeing God's hand in everything that you're doing.
Wow.
Every single thing that...
Shkoyah. When it comes to the year.
But I know that you like that.
I love it. Yirah, to see that Hashem. It's beautiful. Other than what is controlled by the one in whom he trusts, he is not subject to any kind of event, accident, or mishap. All of... You have to start giving shears, by the way. For real. Yeah, you see? They approved the message. All so come sit next to me. All the things that happen in the world happen only because of Hashem. Since He is in total control, you can put your trust in Him. Lightning cannot strike a man unless Hashem wants it to. Beautiful. Lightning can mean other things, right? People, problems, things. That's also lightning. A man cannot fall down and be hurt unless Hashem desires it. To illustrate the concept of total control, the author now presents an analogy. The trusting person... We're almost finished. The trusting person is like a slave imprisoned in the pit under the control of his master. This is a beautiful thing. Just be patient with me. So someone who's trusting Hashem is like a slave, like Yosef HaTzadik. He's in the pit under the control of his master. In the olden days, when people were taken captive, they were sometimes put in pits in the ground from which they could not escape. The master used to drop food into the pit, and the prisoner knew that nobody in the world could help him except the owner of the pit. The owner of the pit had total control. He could provide food or withhold food. The prisoner knew that he was totally dependent on the owner of the pit. Since the owner was feeding him every day, the prisoner assumed he would continue to feed him. In some respects, we are in a similar situation. We're locked in this world like in a pit, and nobody can approach us to help or to harm us other than the master of the world. Which is a beautiful realization to have. When the trusting person is under the jurisdiction of the one he trusts in this way, meaning you put yourself in Hashem's jurisdiction, he has complete exclusive control and responsibility. There is all the more reason, ra'ui, right? There is all the more reason to put his trust in him, talking about Hashem. And in the seventh condition, then we're going to stop. The seventh condition is unconditionally generous and kind. Oh, beautiful. Of course, under the number seven. Dashvit. The seventh condition for trust is that the one who we trust is unconditionally generous and kind. Let's say there is somebody you trust who has all these qualities. He loves you and he's thinking always about you. He is capable of doing everything and he knows exactly what you need. No one else can interfere because he is the only one who conducts your affairs and the affairs of the world. Called God. Accidents are also under his jurisdiction. Nothing can happen without him. But there's one more condition. Suppose you misbehave, so that person loses interest in you. This means your trust is limited. It is only effective if your conduct is good. There is a condition that is not as easy as it may seem. People are often careless in their behavior and they may commit offenses and that displease their mentor. So we have to introduce another condition, and I'm sure we all go through this, that the one we trust is going to be there for us no matter how we are, what we do, the mistakes we make. Our thoughts that are sometimes completely against him. Even if we do the wrong things, he still won't change. Hashem does not change. People change, Hashem doesn't change. That's important. Even though we offended him, we know that the one we are trusting is still on our side. That statement requires an explanation, but this condition is necessary to fully establish trust. By the way, we should also try to get ourselves on that level, where nothing that anybody says or does or whatever it is can harm us or affect us. We should also strive to be on that level and to emulate Hashem, not just where Hashem doesn't change, but we're of course going to change because we're going to implement it into our behavior. But we should also try to get ourselves to a level where we have infinite patience for the briot, for the people around us, for our life, for our struggles. To be patient that things aren't the way you want them to be, or to be patient when someone's annoying you. To see that Hashem sending you this as a way to get reward. To see that everything is happening for the best. Without this condition, nobody can ever really have trust. For there's always the possibility that by doing wrong things, he has forfeited his right to have such a good protector, right? I'm sure everybody has felt that way before, where you just have someone you trust in and you do a certain thing and they don't like you anymore or they don't want to help you anymore. To fully trust him, you must believe. You don't have to convince God. He already loves you. Think about that for a second. You don't have to convince him. You don't have to come up to him or to praise him. I'm saying we should do all these things, but you don't have to come under from Hashem. You don't have to like beg, no, Hashem, love me. Hashem already loves you. He created you, for God's sake. He made you. You know, understand? So there's always the possibility that by doing wrong things, he has forfeited his right to have such a good protector, to fully trust him. You must believe that he is such a good friend and he won't forsake you even when you're not worthy. The seventh condition for complete trust in Hashem is, but remember, to also have complete respect and fear of Hashem. Because I know people don't like the topic of fear, but people fear not getting married. People fear not making money. People fear accidents happening. People fear death. People fear bad things happening. Oh, but when the rabbi says, I'm not a rabbi, I'm saying, but when someone says fear Hashem, everyone's like, no, I don't want to hear about fear. But everything else, you're worried, you're fearing stuff all day. What's wrong with having respect for God? I'm saying practical, no? Does that make sense?
See.
Huh?
What I said before, it's not fear, it's see.
Exactly.
It's the hand.
But also fear. It's healthy to have a certain amount of respect for God. Always. The seventh condition is our friend, but he's not, he's Hashem. The seventh condition for complete trust is sheyeh mi shebatach alav betachlit hanedivut v'achesed. At the one he trusts should be unlimited in generosity and kindness. Lemi shera'ui lo ulemi she'enu ra'ui lo. Both towards those who are deserving and those who are not deserving. Now we'll have to make one amendment here. Hashem brings punishment on the wicked. Hashem brings punishment on the wicked, and he does this for the sake of the good people. Suppose somebody who has false trust in Hashem. His faults will deserve some kind of retribution. Yet, if that man trusts in Hashem fully, then Hashem will requite his trust to some extent. Of course, it's his duty to atone for his sins, but the trust in Hashem will be a very big help for him, which is very true. That's what the Chovot HaLevavot is speaking about here. Saying that even if a person is making mistakes and is not on the right path, etc., even trusting Hashem could always bring you back. The seventh condition for trust states that the one in whom we trust is so gracious that even though we are not deserving always, he is going to have a certain degree of compassion on us just because we trust in him. Because Hashem even sees in your most difficult moments and when you weren't on the derech for days, weeks, months, years, he still believes in you. He still believes in you. Hashem even believed in Ben Gurion and Bibi Netanyahu. He believes in them too. Hashem believes in every Jew in the world that he could come back and make tshuva. Of course, Hashem will have no compassion on the truly wicked people, such as atheists who don't believe in Hashem, or all the people that are coming and attacking the Jewish people nowadays, and at all, or all those wicked people who commit serious crimes against the Jews. For them, there will be no compassion. Very important line. Remember that. Hashem, remember, he remembers everything. Kindness and the people that were against us too. Not in this world, and surely not in the world to come. Why is that? It's only because of his desire to help the good ones, in order to show them that they are getting revenge, and by the way, we're all the good ones, in order to show we're all on the right track, in order to show them that they are getting revenge on the evil ones. This is because there cannot be any happiness for the good people in the next world unless they see justice being done against the wicked who tormented them in this world. It's a hard idea to understand, but we'll get more into it, Bezat Hashem. Consider the righteous people who perished in the Second World War. Consider the yeshivot that were destroyed by the Nazis, yimach shemam. All those good people are now in great happiness in the world to come. But their happiness is also contingent on seeing how their tormentors are punished. Hashem punishes the wicked in the world to come, so that the righteous people should see there is justice. However, even among the righteous, there are some who have faults. Who doesn't have faults? We all do. And they trust in Hashem that despite their faults, their trust will be vindicated. That's the seventh condition that the author refers to here. Not only does Hashem have compassion on those who are fully deserving, like Moshe Rabbeinu and Hillel, He also has compassion on those like ourselves who are not so deserving, because He has compassion upon us. We place our trust in Him, and He will vindicate our trust. Bezrat Hashem, Amen. V'tiyeh nedivuto matmedet v'chazdo nimshach. The seventh condition for the patron establishes that his generosity should be constant and his kindness should continue. Again, the seventh condition for the patron, which is us, establishes that his generosity should be constant, meaning Hashem, never stopping, never ending, even though we may not always feel Hashem is always going to take care of us. And his kindness should continue. It always will continue. It was, it is, and it will be. Lo yikaret ve'lo yipasek. It should never be cut short or interrupted. Sometimes a person may be generous up to a certain point, and then he becomes tired of you. In order to justify our trust in Hashem, all seven conditions apply. Therefore, we can rely on the fact that Hashem will never be wary of us, become wary of us. And just to quickly review, again, any questions? Yes.
Well, why does Hashem care if the righteous people sees justice or not?
Because a truly righteous person understands, like it says in Mesiyat Yesharim, that this world, ha'olam hazeh domeh bifnei pruzdur le'olam haba, the world that we live in is a hallway for the world to come. So a person is not just living for the moment, we're living for the next world. That's really the final destination. For the soul to come and to enjoy, etc. There's actually a chart showing of how the world's supposed to go, right? 6,000 years, Mashiach will come. After Mashiach will come, the Jews will rise to the top, and then Tchiyat HaMetim. So someone who's truly righteous means that he sees the lens, he sees life in the lens that Hashem wants him to see it in. Hashem wants us to feel that and to know that, to align our feelings with what he wants. To know that sometimes righteous people in this world will go through difficulties, right? Sometimes you're gonna have the most righteous. I know someone who lost a baby boy, a literally like a couple months old. Sometimes righteous people go through struggles, but all the difficulties in our life and everything that's happening, we have to trust Hashem. We don't know Cheshbono Shamayim. Maybe one day we'll find out. Maybe one day we won't. But to understand one thing, that Hashem is going to remember the good people. He's going to remember the righteous people. And the people that do go out and hurt the Jewish people, and they do come out and try to hurt us or scare us or all these things, they're going to have their day too. Nothing, there's no rock that doesn't go unturned. Everything is fair and even and kind, and it's measure for measure, and God is watching everything. That's why, especially now in the world today, when everything looks like everyone's against the Jews, and anti-Semitism became a trend and all this stuff, it's the farthest thing from the truth. Everything's going to be revealed. We just have to be patient and to wait. Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I heard something recently from a family member that, like, once you get married to a Jewish girl, every Shabbat you keep after that, like, all the sins that you had before in your life go away. But then if you break Shabbat again, like, they come back. Have you heard of that before? Like,
I never heard of that specific thing, but what I do know is that there are three times in a person's life. Oh, hi. There are three times. Sadiq, we're getting married soon. Oh, so from what I know, there are three times in the person's life when he gets cleansed of the sins. The first one is that Yom Kippur, you get cleansed on Yom Kippur. Chilul Hashem is a little tricky, but Yom Kippur. Second time is the your wedding night, because remember, Hashem does a chesed that when you get married, very soon, and when you get married, when the two halves of a soul come and become one, God gives you kind of like a, you know, He kind of cleans you of all of your debts, all your everything, because He wants that. Hashem, by the way, it's just a very important thing on Shalom Bayit. It says in Masechet Kiddushin, in Tractate Kiddushin, which page is it? I think Lamed Aleph, I'm not sure. I'll check. But it says that whenever a couple is cursing at each other or not speaking politely to each other, it says that Hashem, he takes himself away from the situation. Meaning God is so careful with
relationships, like boy and girl, to be the right way and to be healthy and to be with so much utmost respect, that the whole definition of it is that there should be respect and love for each other. And if that isn't existent, Hashem says, I'm not existent. I'm not there, I leave. So if you have houses that are turned upside down and all of these problems, God left. He left. Hashem left the chat. You know, Hashem doesn't want to be there. it's funny. I was always told if I didn't do classes, I would become a comedian. but Hashem is saying that it has to be done the right way. And if it's not going to be done the right way, Hashem has nothing to do with it. Meaning the moment that a husband or a wife decides to disrespect or to play games or to manipulate their spouse, Hashem has nothing to do with that relationship. It's not supposed to be that way. Yes, there's supposed to be struggles, but the majority of the struggles shouldn't be coming from each other. It should be coming from outside. A home, a Jewish house, is supposed to be a safe place, a haven, a nest. You go throughout your day. Struggling is not supposed to be difficulties with people and cursing. And this is the struggles we bring to ourselves with our wrong actions and our wrongdoings and our mishaps. Struggle is supposed to be it's just hard. We're in Olam Asiyah, we're in a world of creation, and it's hard to get up every day and to commit and to go and to work and to do and to pray Kavanah, and you have things going on. That's struggle. But struggle doesn't have to be always fighting and cursing and yelling and screaming and I'm Moroccan, I can do it. It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Hashem says when the second the relationship has issues, he leaves. So when two halves of a soul come together and get married, when you're gonna get married, you should remember, I'm gonna come to your wedding, invite me. If you're not coming, I'm gonna come anyways. Sure. Israelis don't need invitations, you just come. So when you're gonna get married, know that Hashem cleansed you. It's like you were just born. Because when two halves of a soul come together and become one, it's like a whole new bria. It's a whole new entity. It's a whole new creation. Because up until now, your main priority in your life was your parents. You left your parents' domain, and now your new priority is your wife. Because you just went from Ron, I, myself, now I have someone to take care of, I have someone to feed, to clothe, to take care of, to give her intimacy, all these things. So now you become a new entity. Your wife is your new priority. So when you get married, chesed of Hashem, a kindness of Hashem, a extended kindness, you can call it, a free kindness of God, is that He cleanses you of all your past. So you don't have to come into your new relationship thinking about all the things you did in the past wrong, whether with a girl or with money or with whatever you did. Hashem cleans you completely. Clear? Because for the sake, He doesn't want you to argue with your spouse. So remember, when you get married, it's a brand. Remember, when you get married, it's a brand new start. So Yom Kippur, wedding day, and the third one is for a convert when they convert to Judaism. You go into the mikveh as Christine, you come out Rivka. Understand? You when a person converts to Judaism, you're leaving your old life behind you and you're starting as a brand new person. Hashem gives you a brand new neshama. Those are the three times in a person's life when they get cleansed completely. And of course, practically speaking, if a person makes tshuva, that's why it says, "Bemakom shebale tshuva omdim, ena tzedikim gemurim yochlim la'amod." In the place where someone who makes tshuva stands, a righteous person is not able to stand there. Meaning, righteous from birth. You call it today from birth. A righteous person can't stand there. Why? Very simple. Imagine you're building a building, and let's say you come to an empty plot and you build up, or you build a building where you build a very deep foundation, right? If you build a very deep foundation, the building's going to be very strong. If you just build without a foundation, the tower or the building could fall over easier. That's exactly a Baal Tshuva. A person can go to the depths of the depths in this world. I'm not going to get into specific examples. We all know where it is for us, right? We all know our dark place, the place we shouldn't go to, the place that we're not our true self. You go to those places and you pull yourself out. Hashem helps you. You pull yourself out. You make Tshuva. You come back to Hashem. All that you just did, first of all, everything turns to a mitzvah. Every sin you did, flip it to a mitzvah. Kindness of Hashem. He changes all your sins. He makes them good deeds. He rewards you. And you're completely clean. You're a brand new person. That's why if you look at Baalei Tshuva, people that make tshuva, it's people that make repentance, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. One second he's angry and he's upset at everybody and cheating in business and not treating his wife properly. The Torah makes him a mensch. Makes him a good person, makes him calm and cool and collected and he has space for his wife, and he has space for his children. He comes home, he's not on his phone, doing work. He's present with his children so they don't feel neglected. He comes home, his wife wants to talk to him for an hour or two. He's with her, he's present. Where does that energy come from? Where does that koach come from? Where do those beautiful children that are produced come out of? The Torah. When you learn Torah, you come closer to Hashem, you make tshuva, all these things, you're going to end up living that type of a life. It's very simple. You bring Hashem into your life, he's going to be there. You choose to kick him out, so he will stay out. But even when he's out, another kindness of Hashem is that he's always going to try to come back, because he knows that you need him. He wants to give you. He wants you to have a certain type of a life. He wants you to have a certain type of an outcome. And that's the whole process of life, to always get closer, to always, you know, never give up on yourself, to always, you know, never think that you made too many mistakes, or you're supposed to make mistakes. You're supposed to fail, and to fail often. You're supposed to always calm down and fail. That's growth. You know, I never heard of someone who's trying to go on a diet and never cheated or never missed a gym day. This is part of the process. You're supposed to mess up, but you have to stay on the plan. You have to eyes on the prize. You mess up, you come back. You mess up, you come back. You mess up, good. Yerida, tzorach aliyah. The whole purpose of the fall was to come back up stronger. To take everything about you and your past life and to use it to build your new life. Whether it's with your spouse or whether it's with yourself. Until you get to your spouse, remember, because the whole purpose of being single is to divorce yourself and to get ready to get married. And that's really what it's about. Even married, it's about being a giver, not being a taker. It's about giving and giving and giving and giving. You know, women go through cycles. They have hormones. They have pregnancy. You have to be there for your wife. She tells you 3 a.m. in the morning, I want sour pickles. You better get your butt to 7-Eleven and go get her those sour pickles. That's the responsibility of being a husband. It's all about giving. Because the word love in Hebrew is ahava. Hav means to give. So if your wife's pregnant and at 4 in the morning she wants a Slurpee, a cherry Slurpee, you better go get it. that's your responsibility. Cherries are kosher. So Slurpees are kosher. I don't know about the pina colada flavor, but I know the cherry and the Coke are kosher for the most part. But that's the idea, being a giver. Because remember, when you're looking for something on the outside, when a person's in a special person taught me this, when you're in a situation where you feel like lack, chisaron, that's the time to give. The fly approves the message. That's the time to give. Because when you're feeling like you're missing something and you go, instead of taking, you give, you fill yourself up because you just did something good. Wow, my wife needed this. I went, I did it for her. Wow, my children needed this. I went, I did it for them. Live, I'm saying, of course.
How do you do that and then kind of like do that without having an expectation of just gratitude? Like, what if you keep doing? And then she's still not happy.
It's called being a human being. It's called...
You have to do that without expectation.
100%. Women sometimes, or men too, will sometimes go through a process in their lives where sometimes... I was literally just talking to somebody recently. I'm not going to say his name, but he's married for 20 plus years. And his wife was religious when they first met. And his wife recently decided that she's going out to clubs. She wants to go out with her friends, girls, whatever. And he told me something beautiful that I really learned from. He said, you know what? My wife is in her process right now. I don't like what she's doing, but I'm showing her that I support her process. Meaning sometimes it's going to be the opposite of what you would have wanted. Sometimes it's going to be, for you, very bad. But the whole purpose of giving is not just physically doing, but understanding that even though you may not understand what your wife is, or your girlfriend, or your shidduch, whatever, is going through right now, sometimes they'll even break up with you.
Is it worth investing in that?
100 million%
in that situation,
because you have to go through it. If it's not going to be here, if you want to get divorced after 20 years and go marry some, you know, like they always say, some young pretty girl, you're going to suffer with her too. You're going to have to suffer somewhere. Would you rather suffer in something you just built for 20 years and abandon the ship and go find something new? I'm saying that's called giving, when it's not going your way but you're still staying there. You're still...
Where do you draw the line?
I'm not a Shalom Bayit professional, but we can talk about it, I'm saying, you know?
There has to be a line somewhere where it's like...
Drawing the line is when they cheat. Drawing the line is when they really do things that separate the marriage. If the girl cheats or the man cheats, you can't stay with them. Halachically, it's forbidden, right?
But there are some... Anything besides cheating, you go...
No, I wouldn't say anything. Obviously, lying, tricking, manipulating, these are very serious things that can destroy a person's self-esteem and their confidence and their image of themselves, etc. But if like in this case, right, if the girl was just innocently going out with her friends because she just wants to go out and he knows his wife is not a cheater, here. I'm saying, but she's going through her process. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but you can't control the person. The opposite, when you let go and show them that you support what they're dealing with right now and going through, even though you don't understand it, instead of controlling her and telling her to stay home, you say, go baby, go have a good time. I love you.
What if it costs $5,000 every time she goes out?
So pay the bill. You have the money? Hey, you have the money? Pay the bill. If Hashem gave you the money... It's the same thing with the men too. Sometimes men also go through things, and the women stay. Sometimes at the beginning of the marriage, the wife is the strong one, and the man is not so on the same page. But then 20 years later, the woman becomes weaker, and the man is the strong one. So Hashem is repaying you. But one thing to remember, this is going to make everything make sense. Everything is specifically designed. It's not a coincidence that your wife is deciding this. It's not a coincidence that this is happening or this is not happening or all these things are going on in your life. God is specifically designing all the surin, the suffering that you have to go through. Why? Maybe a past life, maybe certain sins a person did now and they're being cleansed for it. But it's always to go back to one thing. Go, 100%.
That's what suffering is all about.
If you don't have Hashem in your life, especially if a person's married, you're gonna quit on the first day. Because Hashem, when a person connects to Hashem, you're connecting to a higher purpose. You're connecting to a higher reason. Meaning what's happening here, yes, it looks like it's playing out and you're taking it personally because you think it's about you. But it's not about you. It's about you being there for the other person. It's about emulating God. When you're living with Hashem in your life, to the finest, smallest detail, and everything that looks horrible in one eye, second you put on the Hashem glasses, it all looks amazing. Does that make sense? Because something that you're taking as, let's say in this example, right? The guy could say, no, my wife's going out and she's bah, 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 taking it personal, thinking it's about him, thinking that he's not a good husband, all these things. Or he could look and say, you know what? It's not about me. Okay. Thinking that it's not, you could say to yourself, it's not about me, it's about the other person. And higher than that, it's not about us, it's about Hashem. This is what has to happen. This is what was served out in Shamayim. And this is what it is. We can accept it and to thank Hashem for it and to be positive and to be happy and to accept our life, because no one has a perfect life. No one has things go their way. And that's really the biggest reality check and the biggest wake-up call, that without Hashem, we can't do it. Without Hashem, there's no higher purpose. Things will get better. Things will grow. Think with time, things... There's a pasuk that says, "Umeaz yatza matok." After every single difficulty in life, it comes out sweet. Right? Just like in Pesach, after all the bitterness, the Jews received the Torah. After every difficulty, everything comes out sweeter and better in the end. Does that make sense? Okay.
I have an addition. I don't know if this is related at all, but I went to shiur with Gedalia Fenster, and I don't know who the rabbi was, but they basically said something like, if you're in a relationship or any kind of dynamic where one person is just taking, constantly taking, it means that you're just like, stuck, like the dynamic isn't in a good place. So I don't know if that's the same thing as strong versus weak in different phases of relationship, but I think there's a difference there between strong and weak, and then like someone who just takes versus someone who's just constantly giving. Like with that, the difference in the imbalances, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously there's very specific examples in the world and every relationship, but one thing that I believe in and that I think works is that individually, guy or girl, if you work on yourself and just bring Hashem into your life, that's going to solve everything. And that's after talking to many specialists, psychologists, rabbis. That's just my personal way of looking at things. I've spoken to many, many people in relationships, in life, etc. I came to one realization, and this is just my personal way of looking at things. You can disagree. But if you connect to Hashem and you connect to a higher purpose and you just focus on what you have to do, because remember, you can waste so much time on these types of things. And sometimes your own ego will convince you that you're doing the right thing. But no, but look what she's doing and look what he's doing. But look what's happening. It's all distraction. It's heavy. It weakens you. It makes you kind of brittle. But really, what you could do is just connect to the right things and say, Hashem, you deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. And just walk away from it. That was literally the chidush of Purim that we talked about last week. V'nafachu, not just that Hashem flipped the decree happening in Persia, in Shushan Purim, to all the Jews, but literally turn yourself away from the problem, turn around, and let God deal with it. And it's literal. It's meant to be taken literal. That's why if you learn Shalom Bayit classes, it says that when the couple has an argument with each other, the best thing to do is to walk away. Go for a walk. Take a pause. Time out. Because if you let the fire grow, no one's bending their midot, you're going to keep arguing. So sometimes the best thing to do is just walk away and let Hashem deal with it. Let Hashem plan it out. Let Hashem send them the right messenger. Let Hashem send them the right thing they have to hear. And don't control the process. Just let things be. The more you let things be and focus on being the best you and making your life the best that it possibly can be and building yourself up, things fall into place. That's my way of looking at things. But of course, anyone's free to disagree and to... Of course.
I saw something the other day in the parasha saying that Hashem promised the Jews, Israel, from the beginning, from Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, it took time for this to come, to get Israel, the land of milk and honey. It took generations upon generations after Hashem promised Yaakov, promised, you know, all the forefathers of what's going to be. It didn't come right away.
And a lot of suffering, too.
Yeah.
A lot of suffering.
But I felt like people might think, oh, Hashem's promising now, he's promising. But it takes sometimes it takes a long time, you know? That's what we learned from the parashah.
Yeah, but you see, Umeaz Yatzamatok, in the end it became sweet. In the end, the Saint Yosef, who was a prisoner and he was thrown into a pit by his brothers, he rose and became the king of Egypt. So it just goes to show. We learned in Shah Bitachon, Zeyashpil v'Zeyarim, God can lower you and pick you up the next second. You just have to trust the process. An ugly marriage can become a beautiful marriage overnight. Hashem is in control. Yeah.
In the Schutz of Rabbi David Miller, I was listening last week, he was saying that a man shouldn't talk to his wife so much. So he's like, what is this? What? But then he said, no, the wife should do a lot more talking, the man should be listening. And another thing that they say, that, they say, well, if a child is sinning, how do you repair it? It's not the child's going off the there. You love them more.
You accept
that's the
them.
Way, that's the way you bring yeah. them back.
Yeah. I once had a mentor tell me that when with raising children, there's so many advices, but the best one is just hug and kiss them. Always love them. Always know that their home, the home is safe, and that's the best thing you can do. Oh, obviously, we'll raise kids and we'll see how it goes. It's going to be good. Yeah.
See you there.
I just had a quick
five-minute
question. What's the difference between the Shabbat Dachon book and the white one with the blue?
So the white one with the blue is a Chabad, like it's a Chabad version. This one is commentary from Rav Avigdor Miller. And there's another one, which is the art scroll one. Have you seen that? It's kind of like brown, bronzish. It's an art scroll. It's a regular art scroll version. I think so, yeah. No commentary. I'm not sure if the white and blue is commentary. I think it's just the Chabad edition, right?
No, it's from
I'm pretty sure it's commentary. Yeah.
It's from the Rebbe.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite rabbis is Rav Avigdor Miller. I have his painting in my office over there, so I'm just very passionate about him. So that's why I picked this to do with the class. I think Rav Avigdor Miller was always very sharp and true and honest. There's a story one time where one of his grandchildren, they saw him with his head in the sink, like filled with water, and he's like, Bubby, what are you doing? He's like, and Rav Avigdor Miller said, I stopped appreciating Hashem for the fact that I could breathe. So, yeah, very, very, very special person. And he's from Brooklyn. I'm from Brooklyn too. And I think if any person can live in Brooklyn and be happy, it's worthwhile. it's worthwhile to listen to what he has to say. He's a gadol, Rav Avigdor Miller.
His classes are on tour anytime.
Yeah, I listen to them. Yeah, it's a gem. So yeah, any other questions or comments, feedback, criticism? Everything's accepted, yeah.
No, I just want to say you're doing a great job. Honestly. Yeah. And, you know, personally, I started coming here, I was like, all right, it's about listening to the Shul Talat. Now I'm looking forward to Monday. You know, Monday usually I'm back to work, but I was like, man, you've got the Shul Talat tonight, so it's fun.
You're making me want to hug you now. You're making me emotional. No, really, really. Like, I'm really happy that everyone's getting involved. I would really be sad if we did a class and people weren't getting frustrated. You know, like the fact that we're getting frustrated and angry and upset, not angry. We know what I mean. Passionate, right? It's a good thing. It's because this guy is saying something that I don't believe in, and it's making me want to change. That's good. It's positive. It's constructive. And really, like, I guess, I mean, we'll take time for questions or whatever, feedback, but I'll say one thing. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not planning on being one. I'm a regular person just like you. I wake up, I pray, I learn, I go about my day. I like to make content. I have a job. I'm building myself up. I'm going to work with Ben soon. I'm saying I play basketball. I go running. I'm a regular person. There's nothing differentiating me and anybody in this room or the thousands of people listening on the podcast. The podcast has 20,000 listeners. There's nothing differentiating me. It's not me. It's God. And it's growing. Baruch Hashem. There's nothing differentiating me from anybody in this world or in this room. So you should just know that I suffer. I have hard days. But again, it's not about that. It's not about suffering. It's making you a diamond. It's not about a hard day. It's not a bad day. I believe me, I grow, go, whatever you want to put it, I go through these challenges. Today I had a if I tell you about my day today, you'd be like, whoa. Like, take a deep breath. So believe, like, I'm not just talking about it. I'm going through it. I'm living it. I'm breathing it. I'm just here with you guys. I fall. I'm saying I'm a person. So that's why I think it's imperative to know that just because I'm sitting in here, you know, doesn't make me any better than anybody in this room. Same way it could be hard for you to go to Shachri, it's hard for me to go to Shachri. Same way it could be hard for a person to do, it's hard for me too. I'm not perfect, but I've seen in my life, the more that I put myself on the right path and learn Torah and do the right things, it becomes easier, it becomes fun, life becomes better. But one specific thing, praying minyanim, amazing. Again, praying is the highest, it could change your life. But one specific thing that really I've seen in my personal life, maybe your soul's different, but I think the Torah knows what it's saying. One specific thing that changes a person's life is learning Torah. Real Torah, real honest Torah, no sugarcoating, no. Same way that it says in the Shara Bitachon that you shouldn't trust in someone who might not have your best interests in mind, or don't try to please them. Same thing with Torah. Don't go to a speaker who's gonna try to please you or make you come back to his next class. Go to a place that's where you walk in and you feel the vibe. You feel real honest Torah. This person's not just saying it; they're living it. This person is really trying to do the. You know, I'm not talking about myself. I'm saying in general for you guys who go into the world and grow, look for the truth. Look for the truth. Because remember, Emet stands. Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Mem is the middle. And Taf is the last one. From beginning to middle to end, it's all true. Not only that, but Emet, Aleph is 2 feet. Mem is 2 feet. And Taf is 2 feet. It stands firm. But when you lie, Sheker, Shin is one leg. Kuf, one leg. And Resh, one leg. So the best liars in the world, interestingly enough, they put a little bit of truth into their lie. But eventually you're going to find out that they were lying, because even though it's really sugar-coated well, it's really designed well, like it's a nice costume in it and whatnot, eventually you're going to see through the lie, because the truth stands and the sheker doesn't stand. So that's really what it is. And the more that a person connects to the Emet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and follows the Torah and puts themselves in the right environment, because I really just want the best for Am Yisrael. That's why I started doing this. I started with the phone in the dream, and here we are today. I'm really just trying to spread a positive message. I'm saying that's really about it. So I appreciate your message. It touches my heart. It really does touch my heart. It's not easy. You know, it's a lot of work that goes into all this and a lot of preparation, and just, you know, the Yetzahara attacks me. Literally, I don't know what it is about Mondays, but he's like, he knows I'm giving a class Monday. It makes Monday the hardest day of the week. If we give the class on Tuesday, the Mondays I'll be able to chill out. But Baruch Hashem, I'm just kidding. We should get to a place where we do classes every single day, and we should all grow tremendously, and Mashiach should come, and Rav Hashem, all the singles should get married, and Rav Hashem, my name is Jonathan Ben Shimon, and I approve this message.